an international break, but a bumper pod. We reflect on a crazy schedule since the World Cup break, build some final wildcard squads, and plan out just when to use those all-important chips. Hello, it's an international break, but as always, the FPL pod is here to give your teams the TLC they need. Just 10 game weeks remain, but I get the feeling they could be pretty dramatic. Talking of dramatic, Jules, do you want to tell the listeners or shall I?
Here we go.
Go on. You can do the honours.
You've been waiting for this for so long.
Oh, I have.
Well done to you for captaining Bukayo Saka this week. He was the player.
Thank you.
To give the armband to. Although I have to reveal that until the last minute you were not sure. You were texting us saying, oh, I don't know what to
but
do.
I went against both of you. You did Kane. I said, I'm going to go Saka. I had a feeling in my gut. What happened, Jules, overall though? Never mind Saka. Say the words.
Yeah, you're ahead of me now in the rankings or the table.
I don't know how you say it.
You are clapping yourself. Well done. And to be fair, the difference maker was Saka compared to Harry Kane that me and Sam captain. So well done to you.
I enjoyed that. Sam, avid listeners will know that potentially you were feeling a little bit off last week. Your voice, you did so, so well. Firstly, how are you feeling this week? And secondly, did your FPL team cheer you up at all?
So a confession to make, last week I felt so poorly. I didn't really remember what transfers I'd made.
Wow.
So the deadline passed and I was like, I think I made some transfer. I don't know what I've done. And Lee was like, what do you mean you don't know what you've done? And I was like, honestly, it was enough to just keep breathing last week. I am feeling better. Finally starting to feel better now, thank goodness. And actually, I didn't have a bad week. Like, I got 55 last week, which, you know, was quite substantially above average.
More than Jules.
So I'll take that.
I still had more than average, thank you.
But, I mean, actually, I think we all had a good week because we had players playing and that was always going to affect the average, right? When it's a blank game week, you're nearly always going to get a low average. Saka, even though I had him, he was the one that ended up hurting my rank because he was, you know, relatively highly captained last week. So the fact I hadn't captained him was the thing that hurt. But I mean, it was pretty much a blank week, really. Like, I think I went down about 1,000 places or something. And I did in the end bring in James Maddison, which went quite well. So transfer that I did make didn't go as badly as I was fearing it might have.
But I'm glad that you're starting to feel a little bit better. And I mean this in the nicest possible way. You look a little bit better this week. So hopefully it's the end of that nasty virus that's going round. Now, it's time to welcome our final guest this week. And we're at the end of March now, and we've had some brilliant guests on this season from all walks of life. We've had actors, musicians, script writers, snooker players, cricket players. But you can't get better, can you, than one of the originals. He's been a guest on this podcast for ages now. He was on one of the very first ones of the season. I'm not meaning to age him in this introduction. Welcome back to ex-footballer turned broadcaster, Adrian Clark. Nice to see you again, Adrian. It's been a while.
Oh, what a nice introduction. Yeah, no, it's great to be back. No, I'm pleased to have the invite. Yeah, you've had an all-star cast. I'm just bringing it down a little bit this week. But
it's nice
to be an original. I like that. Sounds good.
I'm going to reveal something that perhaps I shouldn't, because potentially you shouldn't reveal private conversations. But when I sent you a message about the podcast this week, you said you're excited to come back, but you'd had a bit of a disappointing season so far. You're a bit frustrated.
Oh, it's not gone great. It hasn't gone brilliantly. I think I've been playing catch up ever since, I think, around September. I had this crazy period where I transferred Haaland out. I'd gone off some injury news and it basically, I thought Haaland was out for one game. And I think it was the Forest game. He ended up getting a hat trick and a lot of people had captained him. And I'd got wind of this story and then I don't know if it was Forest, but it was an early season game where he scored a hat trick. And basically I missed out on 50, 60 points. And I've been playing catch up ever since. But, I'm still enjoying it. I love FPL.
Do you want to tell us anything positive that's gone from your season now? Because I feel a bit mean leading you.
Hey, that's quite early for this.
Yeah.
Arsenal
must have helped you out, because I know you're loyal to them and they've had a brilliant season.
Oh,
and to be
it's
honest,
been so much
as
fun.
An Arsenal fan, I'm surprised you haven't mentioned that just yet.
I'll tell you what, I came on the show at the start of the season with you guys in the studio, and I remember you asking me for a name of someone that very few people will pick that you think's going to have a really good season. And my choice at the time was Martin Ødegaard. And I'm quite proud of that one, because I said that he's capable of delivering 10 goals, 10 assists, and that I think Arsenal are going to have a good season. So that is a big positive. And I've had him in my team on and off throughout the campaign. I've kind of rotated between Saka, Martinelli and Odegaard. I've liked to have two of the three in there. And yeah, he's come good. So I was quite pleased with that shout.
Yeah, Arsenal coming good as well. It must be, I wouldn't know the feeling of this, it must be quite nice when your team's actually doing well in the league and also doing well in your FPL team as well. Like, you're picking them because they're good FPL assets, not just because you're loyal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm under pressure a little bit with the work, because I did the match day show, the breakdown live at Arsenal. Yeah. And one of the players that, because we do the FPL on the show, we have our own little mini league. So it's part of what we do each week. And I won it last year easily, and this year I'm not winning. But one of the guys refuses to pick any Spurs players, so I've been under a little bit of pressure to conform to this. So Kane has been in and out. I've snuck him in on a few occasions, but I haven't really touched anyone else. Saliba's emergence has been great. I've had him in my team a lot of the time. I probably should have had Gabriel instead, but I've just loved watching Saliba grow as an Arsenal player this year. It's been great.
Yeah, you're not the only one on this podcast that's enjoyed watching Saliba. Hey, Jules.
Cue song, Jules.
Yeah. Nice. He's done it. Yes. He hasn't done it for ages. I didn't know if he'd do it for ages.
To be fair, his injury in the Sporting game on Thursday night was a bit of a killer, I think, for a lot of the managers, including us too, Kelly. Yeah. We talked about it together.
I texted you, didn't I, to say, Jules, come on, Mr. Arsenal, tell me how serious this
is. To be fair, in a game week like this, where really you could do with all your players available because of all the teams blanking, that was a big blow, I think.
Adrian, I'm just gonna, not trying to go on about things that maybe haven't gone well for you, but I've just taken a look at your team from the game week just gone.
Yeah.
And you were so unfortunate. I really like your forward line. You went with Havertz, Tony and Watkins. You then have Martinelli, Madison, Trossard. So in terms of your starting midfield and your starting forwards, all did so well. But unfortunately, you captained the lowest score of those, Ivan Tony. But I can completely see why you did do it. But just 4 points from him, that must have been so frustrating, especially given the fixture that he had.
Yeah, I hit the post, didn't I? There, it was really, really annoying, because Leicester have been so bad, haven't they? Leicester are having an awful time of it. And I thought, away to Brentford, they're going to get beaten up here and Ivan Tony's going to run amok. It didn't happen, unfortunately. I wildcarded, and I know we're going to talk a lot about that.
I haven't spotted that.
Throughout the show, yeah. Now, I wildcarded because I only had 5 or 6 players available. So I thought, this is the time to do it, with the double game week coming up post-international break, and then the FA Cup semi-final weekend, is it game week 32? So basically, this wild card was built around getting players playing last weekend and getting everybody in my starting 11 having the two matches in the next game week, and not filling it with players that are going to be involved in the FA Cup semi-finals. So I did give it some thought. It was a wild card, not just for last week. It's a wild card for the next few.
That's exactly what a wild card should be, shouldn't it? We always say this on this podcast. Sam, just on the topic of wild cards, have you wild carded this week? I know you were thinking about it.
I haven't yet, and I'm still...
She's not sure. She doesn't know, to be fair. Yeah. She might have not.
Anything could happen last weekend.
In fact, Sam, I'm not sure it's the week to wild card. I'm going to be honest with you. Make sure that head is nice and clear.
It's an interesting one, because I think that there is scope for a wild card this week, but, you know, there's so many of... So obviously next week is going to be a huge double game week, which we're going to speak about in the next podcast. You know, we've got lots of players playing twice who could potentially have fantastic weeks. Yet there are some teams just playing the once next week who I kind of question whether I really don't want them in my team because the fixture is nice. And we've seen that so many times this season with players that have got single game weeks in a double who outscore those that have got the double. So, and I know full well, if I hit the wild card now, a lot of those single game week players will exit my team and I might just live to regret it. So I think I'm going to hold it and play it ahead of game week 30 instead.
Okay, we'll talk about chips in general a little bit later on, because it's that point of the season, isn't it, when we're all starting to plan for these final few game weeks. But as Sam alluded to just then, this podcast is looking at the overall picture, a bit of reflection, a bit of forward thinking. Next week, we'll focus specifically on the next game week. Now, it's been such a unique season, hasn't it? Having the World Cup break too. It feels a long time, Jules, since you and I were cramped in your Qatar apartment sharing that microphone on the podcast.
But just passing it on.
Yes, yes. It was cozy, wasn't it?
Sam, yeah, it was nice.
Sam, what have we learned since then? Because I think we were all intrigued, weren't we? We were all excited at that point because we got that kind of additional chip, so to speak, the unlimited free transfers. But no one really knew how the season was going to pan out post that break, which we've never had before like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've learned quite a few things. I mean, the key for me has been, it's not always about the fixtures. I mean, I think for a lot of us as FPL managers, when we're looking at our teams and when we're thinking about who to bring in, we're immediately drawn to the fixtures that they have and this run that they go on. Whereas actually what we've seen, and Arsenal have been a prime example of that, is that if you've got a team that's in good form, that it doesn't really matter what the fixtures are like. You just stick with these players because they'll continue to return on a weekly basis. And Manchester United have been a good example of that in recent weeks as well, with the exception of that game against Liverpool. You know, we've got teams that we've invested quite heavily in the likes of Saka and Martinelli and the Arsenal defence with Marcus Rashford, Luke Shaw, the like. Not exactly playing the easiest fixtures, but playing so well. And for me, that's been a key thing. Whereas in the early part of the season, I was all about kind of ducking and diving, picking the teams that had good fixtures that week, because you never felt like you had a massive long period of time to keep these players for, because you always knew the unlimited transfer window was coming and you had a wild card in that window as well. So now I am just trying to be more loyal to players. I'm trying to keep the ones that have got the good form and not go, well, you've not got the best fixture, so off you go and I'm bringing someone else in instead.
Okay, well, let's dive into each position then and work out who we should be loyal to, who potentially we need to move on as we come into these final few weeks. This is, of course, the final break of the season, so it's pretty important in terms of planning. Let's start with the goalkeepers. Kepa is the top scorer. A lot of people went there, Jules, including you and Sam. Is he still a nice option, and just how good has he been for managers since they kind of bought him in?
Yeah, it's been an incredible season. And to be fair, at the start of the season, I don't think that we would have thought that by now, by game week 28, he would have been the number one goalkeeper, yeah. To be fair. There was your usual Edersons and Alissons and Nick Pope, who some have done better than others, of course. Maybe some of us could have foreseen the Liverpool difficult season, maybe not. But Kepa has done well since getting that number one position back, really, from Edouard Mendy, through injuries, through different manager, all of that. It's been a tough season for Chelsea, as we know. And to be fair, in a tough season, he's done extremely well. I remember some of the saves at Leicester, for example, some of the saves at Villa, especially that, if you remember that double, triple save at Villa was incredible. So he's been really back to his best. And it's not really a surprise now, with a bit of hindsight, to see him that in the number one spot for goalkeepers.
Going forward, Sam, is he still the standout option at his price point as well, do you think?
I think so. I mean, I think for me, there's always a big question mark as to whether you go with a budget-friendly goalkeeper, or whether you, and therefore you have two of them and you rotate them around, or whether you pay a little bit more money and, you know, you invest in the likes of one of the premiums, Edison, Alisson, those guys. My feeling is that I still want to go with the budget guys. I think you've got two nice options in Kepa and in Steele at Brighton. And I think having those gives you the flexibility to kind of play the fixtures. And you know, we still have fixtures that have got to be rescheduled for the latter part of the season. And when we look at the teams that have kind of got those fixtures that need rescheduling, Chelsea are part of that, because their game in 32 against Manchester United will need slotting back in. So you know you're getting a double from Chelsea at some point. And Brighton, well, they have got so many fixtures that need to be rescheduled, because they've got the game against Newcastle, which should have been played back in 25. They've got the game against United, which should have been played in 28. And they've got the game against Manchester City, which should be played in game week 32, but can't because of the FA Cup. So three more fixtures to be added to Brighton's schedule. So I think, you know, if you pick Kepa and Steele as a rotating goalkeeper combination, you are enabling yourself to really target in on the potential of double game weeks, as well as picking two relatively informed goalkeepers who, you know, have nice fixtures, and we know both of them can make a lot of saves, and the save points rack up over the course of the, you know, the final 10 weeks of the season.
Adrian, you went for Pope and Ward on your wild card last week. What was the thinking there?
Well, Ward was I'd had him pretty much the whole season. Obviously, he lost his place, didn't he? But he's not really been playing. I've been a bit of a Pope loyalist. Just looking at the stats and the data since the World Cup, I'm shocked that he's not on the list of leading scorers in terms of goalkeepers.
So was I when I looked, actually.
Yeah, because Newcastle haven't at any point look like they're folding as a defensive force. They always look pretty solid to me. And he's been a consistent performer, and he's made a lot of saves and picked up a lot of points early on in the season. Maybe I've made a mistake sticking with him, but I look at the fixtures for Newcastle moving forward and I quite like them. I think they might be coming back into a little bit of form. So I wouldn't necessarily ditch him. Kepa's a great shout, as is Steele. I think he's the new Danny Ward, isn't he? I think he's going to absolutely come into my squad very soon. I think Alisson is more attractive now than he has been at any other stage of the season. I mean, 6 clean sheets in their last 8 games for Liverpool. So he's one to watch. Obviously, Liverpool have got plenty of games coming up. They are involved in game week 32 as well. So Pope and Alisson, Kepa, and David Raya is the top scorer. Brentford, during the last 10 games, have actually conceded the fewest amount of goals. Not a whole bunch of clean sheets, but they just don't let in very many, do they? So I can understand why David Raya is high on a lot of people's lists.
Yeah, as Adrian said, Raya is overall the top scoring goalkeeper, closely followed by Alisson, George's boy Ramsdale, then Pope is actually in at fourth. But if you take a look at the stats since game week 17, there's been a bit of a shift. Kepa is top, then Raya, then Bernd Leno. And I was interested in that because he's potentially someone that we overlook a little bit, isn't he, Sam?
I had him for a little bit, by the way.
Did you, Jules? When did you have him? Yeah. I forgot about that. Why did you get rid then?
Because they were playing Arsenal, I think. And yeah,
of course.
And then I wanted Steele to come in. So
to be fair,
Steele
good
replaced
move.
Him. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, no, I agree with you, Kelly. Just before Sam goes on Leno, I think he's been really, really underrated this season.
Yeah, it's interesting, I think, Jules, because Fulham have been one of those teams that most managers just default, if you're going to go to Fulham, to either Andreas Pereira or to Mitrovic. And that's been the kind of way that we've seen Fulham. It's been as an attacking force more so than a defensive one. But actually, if you look at the underlying stats for the goalkeepers, if you look at the amount of save points that they're picking up, then Leno's definitely not a bad option. And of course, has the benefit of having a fixture that still needs to be rescheduled. So we'll have a double game week. That means the additional potential for, you know, future returns. So I think, you know, what we can say with Fulham is that you're never going to get loads and loads of clean sheets out of Leno. I don't think that you're bringing in Leno because you think that Fulham are keeping a clean sheet every week between now and the end of the season. They are going to have to be defensively much tighter because without Mitrovic for the next 3 weeks with his ban, they're going to have to be defensively solid. That means Leno is going to have to put in some great performances. So I think you can go there. I don't think you'd want to go there with Leno as your only goalkeeper. But if you want to pair him with Steele or Kepa, then I think that makes a lot of sense.
Okay, well, let's round off this goalkeeper section by saying, who would your goalkeepers be if you were activating that wild card? Adrian, would you still go with your two, given what you now know about Danny Ward, since you... Honestly, by the way, that is so unfortunate, by the way.
I would 100% go for Jason Steele. He's, you know, Brighton aren't conceding many goals. They've got a lot of games left to play. And the manager has come out and said that he is the number one choice now. It's not a stopgap. It's his shirt to lose. So it's a no-brainer for me. And I'm quite happy with Pope, but I think if I was to wildcard today, I might go with Raya instead, because I think that Brentford are really solid.
Changed both your keepers a week after wildcarding.
A week on.
That's my season.
At least you're honest, though. That's what we like. Jules, who would your two be?
Yeah, I think Steele is the guy to go to now. To be fair, he's still very low owned. And as Adrian said, he will blank, obviously, when they're in the FA Cup, but in semi-final, but they will have those games to play. They will have a lot of double game week. And they are a solid team. So I'll go Kepa and Steele, which are my two goalkeepers right now.
Oh, that must feel good to know that. Well, actually, it must feel good, but equally, you don't have a wild card. So it must feel good to have the players.
And I'm still behind you, so, you know.
Yeah, I've still got
you've
mine,
got to catch up now.
So, I mean, it's only 9 points, guys. Come on, 9 points. And confession.
It's the first time this season, you know, I'm just have to say in game week 28.
Confession, but, before we get on to forwards, I did in the end sell Erling Haaland, so I'm fully expecting you to overtake me this week. Sam, stick with the goalkeepers. I'm not ready to talk about that yet. Who would your two be?
Yeah, I'll be with Jules on Kepa and Steele. And I think it does partly depend on chips, which I know we'll talk about later, because if you do that combination, you will not have a goalkeeper in game week 32. So you'll need a free hit chip or something that enables you to get yourself a goalkeeper or use your transfer to sort that out. But yeah, I think for me, those are the best two to pair up for the final 10 weeks.
Okay, let's move on to defenders there. Some dead certs in here. When you look at the overall top scorers, Kieran Trippier, no surprise, out on top. And then Gabriel White and Saliba, all from Arsenal, closely behind. But again, when you look at the stats from game week 17 onwards, there's been a bit of a shift. Luke Shaw, who has been brilliant, but doesn't actually fall into the top 10 for the season overall. Then Tim Ream, then Trent Alexander-Arnold, and then Trippier is just below him. But Jules, this season, it has been about having an Arsenal defender, hasn't it, really? It's incredible that three of them are in the top four.
Yeah, you're right. And I think Zinchenko is a bit unlucky not to be a bit higher up on the list, simply because he's missed some games through injuries and things like that. But for Gabriel, Saliba and White, he's been in a very good season, certainly in terms of FPL, as well as in real life, really, when you think about it. If you add up all their ownership, I think Saliba is not far from 30%. Then you've got 12 for White and 15 for Gabriel, just by the three of them. It's a huge ownership just on Arsenal defenders. It's incredible, and it's credit to them and to Mikel Arteta, of course, and what they're doing. But also, I think the managers were right in our game to just stick with them, even if there was a deeper form, of course, with the defeat at Everton and then the draw against Brentford and the defeat against City. But apart from that little dip, really, the rest have been very, very satisfying in the game.
Are we right to stick with them though, Adrian? Because if you do look at the stats from game week 17 onwards, they are slightly further down the list. They're sixth. Well, Gabriel is sixth highest scorer, then White, then Zinchenko, sixth, seventh and eighth scorers. And of course, Arsenal have fewer fixtures. So if managers are wildcarding, if they're looking to move players out with the lack of doubles, is it as wise or is it as essential to have an Arsenal defender?
I would still keep one. And yeah, you wouldn't double up. I think Arsenal's midfield talent means that you'd only ever have one of the defenders anyway. Yeah, no, I think that they can maintain it. The away form is incredible. That's the thing. A lot of FPL players would have looked at the fixtures and thought, Arsenal away to this team, away to that side. Oh, they're not going to keep clean sheets. But they've got a record-breaking number of clean sheets on the road this season. I can't quite believe what I'm seeing, if I'm honest.
They concede a few at home, don't they, actually? Because I've done a few of your home games and some of the stats,
Honestly,
they very rarely keep clean sheets at home, which is surprising.
Three or four. I mean, Emirates Stadium has been just a goal fest this season. Arsenal have scored three or four goals, I think, on numerous occasions, I think nine times this season. But very, very few clean sheets. You can't bank on those. For me, Gabriel is the star attraction because of his threat at corners. He scored 10 goals from corners in his Arsenal career. Since he signed, no one scored more goals from corners than Gabriel across the Premier League. So he is a real threat. I love Zinchenko. I'm glad that Jules brought him up. Just what a joy to watch him. I mean, he is like two players rolled into one. And he's unlucky not to have had more assists. Ben White is the value pick. I mean, the combination with Bukayo Saka is glorious. And there's no way that Mikel Arteta is going to break those two up. They're going to play every single week because they've got such a cohesion. So, and Ben White gets forward very well. So if you're looking to save a few pennies, I still think Ben White will bring in a lot of points between now and the end of the season.
And Tomiyasu is out injured until the end of the season. So White is really... You can move somebody else at right back maybe, but White would be your only choice really at right back. So Adrian is right.
Sam, I can see you losing interest. There's too much Arsenal
too much
chat
Arsenal
here, isn't
chat,
there?
Kelly.
Balance up for defence. Tell us who else. Obviously, I've mentioned Kieran Trippier. Given what we've already spoken about Newcastle's form and the fact that their fixtures are quite good in terms of doubles, I'm presuming he is a kind of must keep. But where else is there value in defence now?
Yeah, I mean, I think you definitely have to keep Trippier, even though the clean sheets for Newcastle have dried up a little bit. You know, you still have such great attacking threat from him with set pieces. So I think you have to have him. Estupiñán is the one for me that's been the real surprise of this second part of the season since we've come back from the World Cup. Brighton have, well, they've just looked great. And they've the improvement that they've shown under De Zerbi since he took over has been phenomenal. And what we're seeing now is a Brighton team that maybe have sacrificed a little bit of their defensive solidity in order to create this more attacking football. But this has meant Estupiñán has become this kind of like a bit of a gift really to us as FPL managers, because he's super cheap. He's attacking every 5 minutes. Every time I look at him, I'm like, where are you? Why are you up there so far? And he's great.
Can I just say he's got the sixth best, he's the sixth most creative defender in the Premier League in terms of chances created per game. 1.59 chances he creates per game. So absolutely, he's going to lay on chances all the time.
And we've got, you know, as I said before, with the goalkeeper situation, you've got the opportunity of so many double game weeks for Estupiñán. So if you don't want to go, and I think the question really becomes, do you want to double up on Brighton defensively by having Steele and having Estupiñán? And I think that's the issue that you have, because there's so many, and we'll talk about them, I'm sure, when we get to the midfielders, so many good options from that Brighton midfield that you could easily want to double up there. And of course, in FPL, we're limited to just the three. So it maybe just taints Estupiñán a little bit, not because he's not worth the extra over Steele, but maybe because when you're trying to budget for the rest of your team till the end of the season, and for players like you, Kelly, that have sold Haaland and you've got to find a way to bring him back.
Stop bringing it up, please.
Maybe. Oh,
good luck with that.
Good
well
enjoy.
Done.
I think you're going to have, you know, you're going to have managers that are thinking, yes, Estupiñán's got this real great attacking threat, but maybe actually I'm better off just being a bit cheaper and having Steele instead.
Every time you mention that, I go a bit cold inside, because I know I need to sort that out. It paid off last week, but in the long term, maybe not my wisest move. Adrian's in solidarity with me on this one, because at least I've got a wild card. Anyway, we're not talking forwards. Let's round off defenders. Adrian, just a quick word on what you've made of the Liverpool fullbacks, because Liverpool in general have been frustrating to us as FPL managers. Sam did have Robertson for a bit, and actually Trent Alexander-Arnold is the third highest scorer, which surprised me quite a bit.
Yeah.
Since game week 17, they've got a double. Do we start looking at them again? We don't need to have a conversation of, are Liverpool back again? Because we've had that pretty much every week on this podcast.
Oh, it's the price point that puts you off, isn't it?
Yeah.
They will score points. Trent Alexander-Arnold will make assists. He will get clean sheets. So, as I said, six in their last eight, Liverpool. But I can't find a way for him back into my team at the moment. I really can't. Manchester City are probably more interesting to me as trying to get a defender in there. Ake is the one that provides the value. He seems to play every single week. He's 5.0 at the moment, Ake. I think City are almost certain to finish the season pretty strongly with that focus on trying to catch Arsenal. I can see them racking up a lot of wins and maybe clean sheet wins. So Ake's interesting. Ruben Diaz is the player that was out of form that's very much back in favour now. But again, 5.9 is a little bit pricey when you compare it to Nathan Ake.
I hope you're right about Ake, because he's one of my headaches every single week when I know the City team sheet's about to come out.
I think he's been one of the players of the season. He's just so solid.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything to Pep all the time, does it? Sometimes you need to rest the best player of the season, seemingly. Anyway, let's round off defenders then by saying, if you were to pick a wild card, who would your defenders be? Jules, you can go first this time.
So I'll have Trippier, of course. We mentioned that. I'll have one of the Arsenal boys. And now with Saliba injured, I think I'll probably go for Gabriel. I agree with Adrian. I like the look of Estupiñán. I brought Chilwell in before the game against Everton for Ake, by the way. And being at the game, covering the game, it's even worse when you've got your FPL player that you're watching live and you're thinking, it's cool. Everything is good for an hour. Chelsea are in the lead. They're not going to concede. Everton are not really threatening. And then, bam, it's just like, yeah, it was painful to watch. But I still have faith in Chilwell. I think he can have a very solid end of the season. So, and one of the Brentford boys, by the way, because they also will have some double game weeks. And we said Raya number one. Ben Mee is doing really well. I've got Rico Henry. So it could be one of them. But yeah.
Being decisive really isn't Jules' strong point.
It's too hard.
A Brentford defender. There's good options there is what we can take from that point. Sam, what about you? Who would your five defenders be?
I mean, I think that there are three that pick themselves in Trippier, Shaw and Chilwell. They would be kind of the essential picks on a World Cup for me. And then I really like the look of Tyrone Mings at the minute, who we've not really spoken about. I'm just going to randomly name drop.
You do love a Villa
drop.
Defender as well.
I do love a Villa defender. I don't know what it is about them, but they've been so good defensively since the arrival of Unai Emery. It's a real change in them and in their fortunes. I mean, you could go Matt Cash as well. I think, you know, you got good attacking threat there too. So one of them too, I think. And then the fifth spot, I'd be really torn because as a Gabriel owner now, here's the position where I'm struggling to wildcard because I know that if I wildcard, I'm probably going to sell him because Arsenal don't have any doubles and because, you know, you can really play out the potential for double game weeks if you go with others. Robertson, I quite like the look of. Stupinian, I like the look of. But as I mentioned before, I'd find it difficult to go there because if I'm going to have Steele, I'd want a couple of Brighton midfielders too. So Mings, Trippier, Shaw, Chilwell, maybe Trent Robertson. Probably I'd go with the Liverpool one, I think.
Okay, got to five. Yeah. I'm having to count with my fingers here because I'm going to lose track. Adrian, who are your five?
I'm really happy because the five names I've got down here in front of me, you've all mentioned.
The five you've got? Yeah. Or is it the five? Please tell me it's the five you've put in your wildcard.
No. I'm starting again. I'm just doing it.
It's wildcarding again.
You want another wildcard, don't you? Yeah. This is you coming on to appeal for a new one.
That's how I'm attacking this particular sort of debate. Chilwell for sure. Mings. Absolutely. Four clean sheets in their last eight for Villa. Trippier, me, love his goal threat and Brentford at the back. And I'd have stuck with Gabriel.
Okay, perfect. A bit more decisive. I like Adrian. He comes, says exactly what he's going to do. Very well prepped. Let's
just
go.
Does a different thing on his wild card.
Yeah, I mean, bit like he Jules. Says something completely different to what he actually does, but never mind. On to midfielders. In a similar way to the defenders, Arsenal midfielders are being highly sold at the moment. Surely, Sam, that's got to come with a massive word of warning. Because this week I'm looking at maybe playing my bench boost, mainly because as it stands, Gabriel Martinelli is on my bench.
Yeah, and we said this a couple of weeks ago when there was a double game week and everyone was benching their Arsenal players. And I sat here on this pod and said, if you are thinking about benching your Arsenal players, you must bench boost because they are going to hurt you. And my goodness, did they hurt that week? There were so many enormous scores on people's benches that week. I think the Arsenal midfield, well, they've been phenomenal, haven't they? At different points of the season, different ones, you know, Adrian mentioned earlier about Martin Odegaard. He has been just superb this season. Bukayo Saka has been phenomenal. Martinelli, I mean, I have been Martinelli's most loyal and biggest fan for most of this season, even at the point where he was getting benched every 5 minutes and I still somehow managed to keep him in my team. And Arsenal, I think, are the big team here that you need to think about. If you're going to wildcard, if you're going to start making big changes to target double game weeks, the sacrifice you have to make is to remove some of your Arsenal players. And that is a massive, massive risk because they are likely going to win the league this year. They have to keep pushing because they're being chased all the way by Man City. And I don't think you want to sell the likes of Martinelli. So Kelly, if you've got a bench in this week, then 100% make sure you play your bench boost chip.
Oh gosh, I've a bit like Jules. I have definitely not made a decision on what I'm doing yet. It's early. I've got a few days
to
think
about
it.
You've got time.
It's really tough, isn't it? Because if you do decide to sell an Arsenal midfielder, you just know you're going to sell. If like me, you doubled up, I just know I'm going to sell the wrong one or bench the wrong one. I've got Saka and Martinelli and you feel like you have to play both of them every week because one of them will score and you just don't want to miss out and see those points on your bench. I know you guys, Adrian and Jules, are going to agree, so I'm not going to ask you about Arsenal. No. One thing that is probably concerning a lot of FPL managers, including myself right now, Marcus Rashford, Jules, pulling out of this England squad. He is currently flagged. That's potentially very bad news ahead of a double, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Although, again, there's a bit of time. It's not like if he was playing on Saturday, for example, there's another 10 days, really. It felt a little bit, I mean, I don't know exactly. I've had no inside info on his injury.
Come on, you're the man in the know.
Yeah, but he felt, this one felt a little bit like, oh, it would be great if you had a two-week rest, really. and maybe the injury is not that serious. And yeah, he could not play for England. I'm sure he would have loved to. But it was just precautions and stay in Manchester, go through treatment, have a few days off, rest, and then he'd be ready to go for what is a huge, really, end of the season for United, both in Europe, in the FA Cup, and in the Premier League too. So you would not want to take any risk with your currently your best player. So I'm hoping, really, a bit like Erling Haaland for City, that it's just not to take any risk through the international break, because if they were to lose Rashford, it would be a terrible news for United and for all of us who have him in our team.
Shall we have the Brighton midfielder debate now, Adrian? We've already debated whether you want to do the double up in terms of having a keeper and a defender. But then also the other debate is, which midfielder do you have?
Yeah, I've been a Mitoma advocate. I think he's delivered for me. Yeah, over the last few weeks since the World Cup, he's been sensational, hasn't he? 5 goals, 2 assists this season. I think on the form table, he's the second highest. Behind Gabriel Martinelli on FPL. But you can't discount Solly March. 7 goals and 2 assists. Remarkable, really. I think there's more chance of Mitoma maintaining that level of form than Solly March. But you know, I could be proven wrong on that. But yeah, I think it's pretty prudent to have a Brighton midfielder in there, given that they've got all these extra games. The issue is obviously the FA Cup semi-final week 32. They'll be out. So yeah, you got to factor that in. But yeah, Mitoma would be my pick. I think he's destined for probably a move, probably to Arsenal, like all the other Brighton players. But I think Mitoma will end up at one of the bigger clubs in this country. He's a real player.
Oh, come on, leave the Brighton fans alone. Let them enjoy their season. Just to tell you, since game week 17, Solly March is actually the third highest scoring midfielder behind just Rashford and Saka. And interestingly, Mitoma is 6th highest scorer. So March is slightly outscoring him, and March is 0.4 million cheaper. So it does feel prudent to have one of those, but a bit like the Arsenal midfielders, it feels like one week you're going to get points from March, one week from Mitoma. Where else is there value in this midfield, Sam?
Well, I think Alexis McAllister needs a big shout out at the moment.
Yeah, actually, I've been a bit mean there, not including him in that debate. Yeah.
Because for me, he's my favourite Brighton midfielder. He's on penalties, so that adds another element to his game. I think part of the reason he doesn't appear on this table when you're looking at game week 17 through 28 is that, you know, he came back from the World Cup late, and let's not forget, he's a World Cup winner this season. He came back late, so he wasn't part of the team. He hasn't played all of these matches like, you know, March and Mitoma have. But also, when he did come back into the team, he was playing in this kind of deeper role where he was less effective from us as an FPL perspective. In recent weeks, we've seen him push forward into this kind of advanced number 10 role, and that has opened up a world of opportunity for us as FPL managers. And suddenly the conversation is a three-way. It's March, it's Mitoma, it's McAllister. If I was wildcarding today, I'd have two of them, because the way that they are playing, the attacking play that De Zerbi has instilled in this Brighton team, couple that with the amount of double game weeks that they're going to have between now and the end of the season, and I think you can have a March Mitoma, a March McAllister, a Mitoma McAllister double up. And I don't necessarily think it matters who you go with. I think what we might see is more consistent returns over the next few weeks from Mitoma and McAllister. You might just see them tick over points nicely. Whereas with March, there's the potential for these just huge scores, because he just has these games where he goes absolutely crazy. So with March, I think you've got the potential for a haul and then not so much, and then a haul and then not so much. Whereas I think with the other two, you get more consistent returns. And it therefore depends on how you want to play FPL. For me, McAllister is my favourite of the Brighton midfielders from an FPL perspective.
Interestingly, not on the top scorers since game week 17, not in the top 10 anyway, but as you've said, Sam, plenty of potential for that to change over the coming game weeks. Right then, midfielders. Adrian, who are your midfielders of choice if you were to scrap that wild card from last week?
Yeah, that's a good question. Martinelli definitely stays in. I can't ditch Marcus Rashford, but if there is an injury problem, consider Bruno Fernandes. Oof. He's because I think he's been not great this season in terms of output, but just with moving my eyes, I see a player that's scoring goals and making goals in the cup competitions. And I think sooner or later that translates to Premier League form. So if you want to take a punt, maybe Bruno Fernandes, but I would be still be sticking with Rashford.
Eighth top scorer since game week 17. So it's not quite as rogue as my sound effects there suggested.
Yeah, no, exactly. And look, there's only one player that's created more chances, big chances as well, than Bruno Fernandes, and that's Kevin De Bruyne. So the underlying metrics tell you that he will come good with points, but let's wait and see. I would keep Salah. I'm not going to change there. I think he's in good form, and I would actually keep Maddison
even at that price point.
I know that they blanked at Bournemouth again with my eyes. I see a player that's flying again, and I think that Liverpool will push hard for that Champions League place. There's going to be a big focus on that. And he's going to be a go-to guy for Jurgen Klopp. So I would stick with Salah. And actually, I've still got Maddison in there as well, because I think he is a consistent point scorer when he's fit and available. But Mitoma, obviously, one of the Brighton players for sure.
Brilliant. Jules, who are you going with?
Just the thing on Salah is Liverpool have like three games coming, City, Arsenal and Chelsea, that I'm not really sure. You can still trust them to do like what they did to United, of course, and they can perform really well in big games, there's no doubt. But it's still three huge games for them against top opposition. So maybe that has to be in your mind if you want to invest in Liverpool players. I love Mitoma, I love Saka and Martinelli. Both of them, I think, Arsenal, especially now that they're out of Europe and of the FA Cup, it's just the league really, one game a week. The form that they are in right now is pretty incredible. So I'll have both Saka and Martinelli. I'll have Rashford. And then remember last week we mentioned Jack Harrison. And we were saying, you can go for Maddison, you can go for Harrison. We said there was a few players there, Buendia too. And then when I saw Harrison scoring for Leeds, considering I had brought in Maddison, I was like, are you for real? Harrison has been in great form. And Leeds, to be fair, play Arsenal next. But after that, I think it's Forest and Palace. So maybe if you like Jack Harrison and the way he's been playing, it is an option.
He's been moved to the wing and he was playing central midfield. So, and he's a winger. He was never a central midfielder. So I think he's happier as well. One other name is Foden. It's just obviously the Pep Roulette thing. But I think when he plays, he's going to deliver goals.
Sam, what about you?
Mitoma, McAllister, I think you double up on the Brighton attack.
Oh, wow. You're going double. Okay.
Yeah, I think you do. I think you double up on that attack. Rashford, if fit, I think you have to have. And then I get stuck because I think you have to make a choice at Arsenal. I think you have to have Saka or Martinelli if you're wildcarding. I don't think you can keep both because they've only got single game weeks to go. And that feels horrendous to say because they've been so good. And I don't know if I could sit here right now and say I'd pick Saka, I'd pick Martinelli. I'd be really torn. I think I'd err on Saka. Because with Jesus returning to the team and Trossard and Martinelli, there is a lot of potential there for kind of needing to rotate, not because they've got other competitions, but because they've got such a great squad now of players for those positions. And then I think I'd stick with James Maddison for now, because Leicester's fixtures are really nice and they do need to still win some games to, you know, get themselves higher up the league towards the end of the season. So I think I'd stick with Maddison, but that Maddison slot would be the one that I would tweak as we get further towards the end of the season. Whereas I think players like McAllister, Mitoma, Rashford, Saka or Martinelli, you're holding them from now until the very death.
If anyone fancies Mihailo Mudrik, I would not advise it.
What a way to round off this section. You're so lucky you got through that without me mentioning him actually. Have you sold him yet?
He's still there, but he will go this week. He will go this
week. You've got to hold him forever, Jules.
He was in my team for the Chelsea Everton and being at Stamford Bridge, and we are sat so close to the benches.
Yeah.
And then he was warming up forever. Literally, I was, please, please, Graham Potter, please, please, please. And then never. It never happened. Like, yeah.
That was a sign, wasn't it?
Who's this journalist that keeps telling me to put Mudrik on?
Why is this crazy Frenchman shouting at me?
It was so funny. I was like, come on! No, not happening.
FPL does crazy things, particularly when you also have to go to games for work. I know that feeling. On to forwards. We are seriously overrunning and our producer is going to kill me, but there is so much to talk about. Erling Haaland, we have to start with him. Yes, I've sold him. Yes, I already regret it. Yes, I need to sort that out at some point. But He pulled out of international duty, Adrian. Mm. How much do you read into that?
Oh, nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Oh, come on.
I think he's absolutely going to be fit, isn't he? I think all the moo music is that it's a precaution rather than anything. Look, as an Arsenal fan, I got my hopes up, I must admit. and as someone that didn't include him on my wild card as well, it would have been a bonus, but he'll be back for the next
game.
Did
you leave the money in the bank, Adrian?
Yes.
I did.
Yeah. So
also, just to say, I did as well. I'm not totally bonkers.
Oh, he's coming back. He's coming back for sure. But he'll play against Liverpool. Got no doubt about that.
Okay, moving on. We don't need to discuss whether you need Erling Haaland because I think we are all aware, even us non-owners, that you do. Kane, though, is only 6 points behind him in terms of points from game week 17. We've got the Kane fan club, all two members of them. I'm joking, it's got way more members than that. Is he often overlooked, Sam, do you think, because we've just kind of taken for granted him scoring goals and him regularly returning for us?
I mean, overlook Harry Kane at your peril. I think he is. I think partly this season it's been because he hasn't been hauling. He's been ticking over the points nicely. And when you have a player that just ticks over six points, you don't see those explosive numbers, managers feel like, well, maybe they are disposable. Maybe I can go with somebody else. Maybe I can try and target him. But what we're seeing from the numbers actually is that, you know, as you say, there's not a huge amount of difference between Haaland and Kane, particularly since game week 17, since we've come back off that international break, because Haaland's been a little bit more up and down in that period, whereas Kane's been consistently returning. In my view, I think you need him, but obviously I come with a bias because
really?
I am Harry Kane's biggest fan. And I think, you know, between now and the end of the season, Spurs have got a lot to do. They've got a lot to do and they are only focused now on the league. So they've, between now and game week 38, they have to try and secure European football for next season. They have to kind of start the rebuild process. And if anybody is doing that, it's Harry Kane dragging the rest of that Spurs team, kicking and screaming across the line. So for me, I'd find room for Harry Kane in your front line.
It's hard though, isn't it? I guess when you are already putting all that money into Haaland as well. And Jules, when you look at the value elsewhere in those forwards, I saw a lot of people last week debating whether to go for Ollie Watkins, Kai Havertz, and of course you've got Ivan Toney as well. Who do you think is kind of the best value outside of kind of your Kanes and Haalands?
Yeah, because I think for me, I agree with Sam, is Kane and Haaland, and who is your third man, really? That's what it's down to for me. We mentioned Alexander Isak last week, who did really well again, and he's playing well. They've got United next, which is tough, although it's at St. James's Park. But I think he could be a really, really good option. And at 6.7 million, it's not too bad, really, to be fair. It's much cheaper than Ivan Toney, for example, who is on really good form, who I think is going to be boosted by his England call-up for sure. Whether he plays or not, it's another matter. But I think that kind of boosts your confidence when you are called up for your national team, especially for the first time like that. Yeah, Watkins, I've seen Havertz against Everton. You could see that he's not far from being really consistent in scoring goals or delivering assists. So I would keep Havertz somewhere in the back of your mind. For now, I'm keeping Toney with Kane and Haaland, but it's really good that there are so many options up front as well.
The thing you have to be careful of with Toney, of course, is that upcoming ban, because if he gets another booking, which he's going to at some point, he's going to pick up his 10th yellow card.
He's going to get it in the first game of this double, isn't he?
Yeah, and then he's going to miss two games, because if you get 10 yellow cards, it's a two-match ban. So at some point, we will lose Toney for a couple of games, you would expect. I cannot believe that Toney's going to get till the end of the season without picking up another yellow card. I mean, he might surprise me, but it feels like a ticking time bomb with Toney. And I think if you invest, just be aware that when that yellow card drops, if it drops, you're going to lose him for a couple of games.
Anyone else catching your eye, Adrian?
I think all the main protagonists have been mentioned. I've got Watkins, Toney and Havertz in because for the reasons outlined at the start of the show with the doubles and the fixtures, I like those three. Haaland's got to come back in. Isak is one of the options for Toney or a Watkins for sure. The one we haven't mentioned is Evan Ferguson. I love this kid. I think he's a real player. And if you haven't used up all your Brightons like Sam, then then he is a great asset, I believe, to have maybe on the bench just to allow you to spend more money on some of the big hitters. He's not going away, Ferguson. He can finish. And if we're rating Brighton this much as a team, and I think we all are, then at the price, you know, you have to make him a consideration. I think it's 4.6. So, yeah, Evan Ferguson's a shout for me.
And he scored for Ireland as well on his debut, on his first start. So, like, that boost that we mentioned from international football, being called up by your national team, all of that, that brings a lot of confidence, and he will benefit massively from it too.
Yeah, and he's just 18 years old as well. It's bonkers, isn't it? I watched Brighton live. It was only obviously against Grimsby at the weekend in the FA Cup, but they were brilliant. He was brilliant as well, particularly his first goal that he scored.
Yeah, it's a great goal.
Okay, who are your forwards? Sam Bonfield.
Haaland, Kane, Watkins.
Oh, there was a pause over Watkins.
The third spot's harder, but I think yeah. Watkins just gets the edge.
Adrian.
Yeah, Haaland, Havertz, Watkins for now, but Ferguson under serious consideration.
Jules.
Haaland, Kane and Isak.
Cool. The most decisive Julian Laurent has been since we started
always.
This podcast.
I'm always decisive.
yeah, I like the Isak pick as well. And when I do eventually activate my wild card, I think he will probably come into my team. Okay, let's have a little bit of chip chat then. That's always harder to say than when I've written it down. We've done a bit of a wild card squad for you so far. So hopefully that's helped. A reminder, don't leave that too late. You want to feel the benefit of getting those new players in as well. But let's just see where our guests are with their chips at the moment. Adrian, what have you still got left to
play?
Well,
look, I've got very little to contribute here because I'm out. It's game over.
You've got none?
Yeah,
you've
got no chips? They've gone. Yeah. I've had a bad season. I've used them
you've
all
panicked.
Up in a desperate bid to sort of claw some points back. And it's kind of worked, but not enough to really satisfy me. So, look, I'm just going to listen to you guys on this section because I'm done.
Also though, there will be managers listening to this podcast who have done exactly the same, and let's be clear, it's not game week 10 or something. It is, we are in the final stretch of the season, so it's slightly bonkers, but it's not the most bonkers thing that we'll have heard in FPL this season. Jules, what about you? We know you got rid of that wild card a few weeks ago when everyone else triple captained.
Okay.
Because you've got triple
Madrid.
Captain is what I mean.
Yeah,
so
I've
got
triple
got
captain. Yeah, I've got triple captain. I will play at some point. I think I'm waiting for Erling Haaland double game week, really.
Yeah.
This is it. I don't care who he will play in that double game week. If there's Champions League outside of it or not, I think I will, you know, this is where I'm going to go with the triple captain.
Sam, you and I have got a few more things in our pockets than these guys.
Yeah, I think you've still got more than me though, Kelly. I mean, so I've got my wild card still to play. I think I'm going to play that in game week 30, set myself up for those final 8 weeks of the season. I've already used my bench boost. I think Jules and I played that at the same point a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So that's gone, but I do have my free hit remaining as well. So two chips left for me. Free hit, I'm currently planning to play in game week 32 because that means I can fill my boots on Brighton, Man City, Manchester United and Chelsea if I want them, and not have to worry about their involvement in the FA Cup in game week 32. So I think wild card in game week 30, free hit in game week 32. I do wish I had my bench boost for this week though.
Mm. Would you recommend to me using it?
Yeah.
This is me again using the podcast for my own team, guys.
Yeah, 100%. If you've got your bench boost left now, play it in game week 29. It's going to be the biggest double game week that we have left between now and the end of the season. And yes, as Jules rightly says, if you've got your triple captain left, there are going to be plenty of opportunities to use that as we get the other doubles rescheduled in between now and the end of the season. But you're never going to get such a big one. So for me, this is the perfect moment to hit that bench boost if you've got it remaining.
The issue I have is that, and what puts me off is that I don't have any doubling players on my bench.
I don't think that matters though. We saw that last time, right? Everybody in the double game week benched their Arsenal players because they were, you know, wanting to play all of these double players. They wanted to play their Brighton assets or what have you. But when you look at the fixtures that some of your single game week players will have in game week 29, they are exactly the players that are going to be relegated to the bench, but they're also the players that could easily return you a big haul. So I don't think that matters if you've got single game weekers on the bench and you bench boost them.
Okay, well, I've got a little while to think about it. Thank goodness, to be honest, because I'm one of those managers. You say I've got a lot of chips left, but I'm one of those managers that's really stingy with them. I do not like using them. I'm the polar opposite of Adrian.
I think that's actually
just as bad as you using them just as really early, to be honest, because I get to the final 3 weeks and I'm like, oh, now I have to use them now. And I don't know why I feel like I can't use them. I'm always worried there's going to be a better one further on, but we never really know, do we? Anyway, that's where we'll wrap it, I think, for this week. I'm not going to ask you for your transfers because, of course, we've still got another podcast before next week, which, as Sam and I both said earlier, that will look more specifically at the next game week. This was just to hopefully help those of you planning for these final few game weeks and just take a breather and reflect on what we've learned over these past few weeks. Adrian, thank you so much for coming on. Hopefully it won't be as long before we hear from you next week.
Oh, no, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's been an absolute delight and I've definitely picked up some useful tips. So, yeah,
I appreciate it. Namely, you need another wild card.
You should have come last week before your wild card, clearly.
Yeah, sorry about that. We should have booked you for then. Jules and Sam, any plans for this international break weekend? Jules, I'm sure you're watching every nation, every single game that's taking place.
Yep. I'll be watching you tonight to start with. That Italy-England is good. Then I go to France for the France-Netherlands game and Kylian Mbappe's new era as captain.
Sam, what about you? Or are you having a football-free weekend?
No football for me. I'm having a weekend off of football, but I am, hopefully, as long as I'm still feeling better, off to see Ed Sheeran on Friday night with the kids. It'll be their first concert, so I'm super excited.
Okay, well, I'll end this podcast before I make a terrible pun using an Ed Sheeran song title, because you never know, that might also mean Jules starts singing once again, and we've already heard that once in this podcast. That's where we'll leave it, guys. Thanks, as always, for being with me, and thanks to you guys at home for listening. We'll be back next Wednesday. Bye-bye.